One, two, three.
Okay, I'll see if I'm getting on. This is Betty Trinnell speaking for the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Mr. H.G. Taylor, known to most people as Skinny Taylor. Oh, Mr. Taylor, are you a native of Decatur?
No, I'm not. I was born and raised in a little town of Flat Rock, Illinois, down in southern Illinois, right between Vincennes and Robeson, Illinois, in the Wabash River. I went to high school at Robeson, Illinois, the county seat's Crawford County. And after graduating from high school, I came to Decatur to go to Millick University. And after graduating from Millikan, I stayed in Decatur and went into business, and I've lived here ever since.
You liked Decatur when you were a student well enough to spend the rest of your life
there? I certainly did. I loved it. I loved the people. They were very friendly. They wanted to be friends, and I'm a Depression baby. It was during the 1930s when you jobs were hard to find, and I went to work for Gauger and Deal, which now is Pete Marwick and Mitchell, in the accounting firm, and I've been here ever since.
It might be interesting for you to compare the Decatur you knew when you first came here to the Decatur today.
Well, of course, when I came to Decatur, it was more of a middle of the, it was not industrialized. It was a farm town. There was a lot of retired farmers lived here. We didn't have the manufacturing. We didn't have, Staley's was small then. ADM was not here. BorgWarner was not here. Caterpillar was not here. Firestone was not here. So we didn't have the industry. And it was a different city entirely, and it's made a lot of difference in politics. When I first came to Decatur, Macon County was a strong Republican county due to the fact of at that time, the issues, of course, was high tariffs, and the Republican Party had been one of high tariffs to protect the working man, and at that time we had the Republican votes, due to the fact that a lot of those farmers, retired farmers, and small businessmen. But after the Depression, when we had the Depression, and so many people were out of work, so many people were on relief, it started going Democratic at that time, and as factories moved into Decatur, they became unionized, and of course, traditionally, union labor has been Democratic.
Right. Well, you mentioned politics, and we haven't been talking very long, but you've already started talking about politics.
Yes.
And perhaps I should say that I believe you are known to many people as Mr. Republican in Decatur.
Well, I think that's a compliment, probably. I don't deserve it. There's many other people have done as much in the party as I have. However, when I was in Millikan, I liked college politics. I was president of my class in Millikan. I was president of my fraternity, and to become president of both, we formed coalitions with other organizations, other fraternities and other sororities, made deals as to the treasurers and the secretaries and the vice presidents of the different classes would be, and it got my blood, I guess, and I got out of Millikan. And
could I interrupt you a minute? What was your major in college? What
did history you... and political science.
So you came into the field naturally.
Well, and then I went back. I had to stay out of college a half year. I had an operation, a bursted appendix. I had to stay out of school a whole semester.
That was serious at that time.
That's right. We had no penicillin. We had compounded, a gangrene set in, and I sneezed and ripped out all the stitches and never could sew me back up.
And
so I'm lucky, of course, to be here. It had no sulfa, of course, at that time. But anyway, I graduated in the middle of the year, so instead of, I went back another half year and got a major in accounting, and I got a minor in psychology.
So you were well prepared to go into the field of politics.
Well, I knew I was going to enjoy it, and in the precinct where I lived, the county chairman was going to retire, Mr. Jokish, he has a son here now, Edward Jokic, an attorney. Mm-hmm. His father, he was the precinct committeeman where I was living, and I live in the college precinct.
Mm-hmm.
Still live there, and have lived there for many, many years. And he asked me to run for precinct committeeman,
mm-hmm.
to take his place. He wanted to get out of politics. He was getting older and was not joining at the time as much as he had previously. So I ran for precinct committeeman unopposed, and was elected, and I enjoyed it. Along about that time, we had in Macon County, the political organization was dominated by what was known as the Three J's. One, Judge Baldwin, who was the circuit judge, John Evans, who was the state's attorney, and Jake Hill, who was the postmaster. At those days, the postmaster was appointed by the congressman, and all the employees were political employees,
mm-hmm.
the mail carriers, the clerks, and so forth. So they, the Three J's, controlled the Republican Party. It was ran right after the war, World War I, a group of the Legionnaires decided they wanted to take over. And they ran a group in every precinct against the incumbent precinct committeeman. They were mad at Jake Hill. Jake had been postmaster for many years. He really was a dominant force behind the scenes. He had several other businesses related to politics on the side. For instance, he sold road oil to the commission, to the road commissioners and all the townships and so forth. And they didn't think that was cricket. And so consequently, I got caught in that sweep. And they ran a very prominent citizen against me, who was a much older man and more respected man. He was in business here, a man named Mr. Bob. He was a nice automobile dealer at that time. But we won. I won, and the 3J won. And then we had another fight. But Governor Green ran for governor in the primary against a man by the name of Richard Lyons.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, you, can you remember Richard Lyons?
Well, of course I know some of these people.
He, and we chose up sides. There were a group of us young bucks that didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
We got on Governor Green. Of course, he wasn't governor then. He had been a U.S. district attorney
mm-hmm.
in Chicago and had prosecuted Al Capone, had convicted him, and he ran for mayor of Chicago and just barely got beat.
Mm-hmm.
So then he ran for governor in the primary against Dick Lyons, and he beat Dick Lyons.
Mm-hmm.
And the old line politician, the Three J's, Jake Hill and Judge Baldwin, and by the way, his daughter, Judge Baldwin's daughter, is still living here. She married D.M. Berner, who's mm-hmm. an insurance man here in Decatur now. That was his daughter, and John Evans' son was Father Evans, who just recently passed away, who had retired and lived here in Decatur. So we won in the primary, and Governor Green then won in the election. At that time, the political jobs were not under civil service. They were
mm-hmm.
faculty jobs. Your game wardens, your liquor inspectors, your weight inspectors, your gasoline inspectors, they were all political.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you built your organization. So we took over, and I was a part of that group. I was one of the campaign managers, and the youngest, for Pete Green. And of course, when he won for governor, we won the spoils.
Mm-hmm.
We had the job, we appointed our own people, and we took over the organization. And that's actually, it was the fun of politics
mm-hmm.
at that time. I've never been on a political payroll. I refused to go on. As I said, I've been a precinct committeeman since 34.
You like to work behind the scenes
yep.
more than
And really, I never wanted to be chairman. But controlling all the jobs, the newspapers editorialized so much and worked me over so much, you know, get out from behind the shadow. If you're going to pull the screen, be up where you can be criticized and so forth. Either get on or get off. So I ran for county chairman, and I was elected, and I've been county chairman ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I've had opposition different times, and I say, I don't know. I suppose it's the ego that keeps you going. your ego. You really maybe are on the probably for other people. Maybe that takes care of an ego in you. I've always thought that the kick that I've got out of politics has been able to help people, and that is sincere. People who are so helpless about Social Security, their sons in service who were wounded and so forth, and I've been in a position to help them, and it's been my thrill and it's been my reward of being in politics.
Very satisfying.
Yes.
Well, now, can you bring us a little more up to date? We ended before, while there was still the patronage system.
Ma'am?
The last you mentioned in the political story
okay.
was when there was a patronage system.
Okay.
But that changed, didn't
that
it?
That has changed. Now, all the state employees, the governor's office, are civil service employees. The only way you put your people on now is through attrition.
Mm-hmm.
People dying and moving away. Now, and just recently, in the last 4 years, Secretary of State people, with the driver's license and so forth, the same thing applies to them. And actually, it's, as far as I'm concerned, is a bad situation. There's good and bad to patronage. I have said that the party is over. I have said that the two-party system is close to coming to an end for the simple reason the media today are really nominating and electing officials pretty near in both parties. You take your Walter Cronkites, editorialize night after night. They influence so many people on a national level, and editorializing. And we have now, when we had patronage, we had door knockers. We'd go out on weekends and knock on doors and pass out literature. But today, you get a state job from somebody, they're not obligated to you anymore, and they won't go out and work, afraid to. They don't want to jeopardize their position. There's strict rules about politics and patronage and civil service, so they want to be very careful. So consequently, the news media is controlling politics in this country today. And if it something doesn't happen, and I'm not advocating that they ought to go back to the old, but we're going to get like France. We're going to have 15, 20, maybe 40 or 50 parties, and no party is going to have a majority, and it's going to be very, very hard to get anything done politically or law-wise in the country.
You said that you thought the two-party system was crumbling, but doesn't it seem a little stronger now?
No, it does not. When I first became a precinct committeeman, people sought to be commitment. They worked at it. They wanted to be commitment. A lot of them was overage people, couldn't get jobs. They wanted a state job. They could get a state job. Today, you can't reward them. And you get your bad, like our bad black Democrat precincts. We have a hard time getting people to run for precinct commitment. The Democrats are just as bad in our Republican white-collar district, getting anybody around. They don't want to get beat. And so consequently, they're knocking their heads against a stone wall. And we have a hard time. We have 115 precincts in Macon County. We have, at this time, 6 vacancies. The Democrats got 30. And it's hard to get people to run for those offices. We used to think, it was a patriotic duty. But you know, a lot of people are fed up with politicians. Crooked politician becomes synonymous, a crooked politician. I don't think that way, but a lot of people do. A lot of people learn, so what? What does it make any difference? They're all a bunch of crooked. I resent it, but nevertheless, what I resent, a lot of people still think that's the case.
Do you think Reagan's victory has changed anything?
I think Reagan's victory is changing the thinking of our country. I think the world was the lady in England being the new premier and conservative. I think that with Reagan being a conservative, I think people are waiting to see. The other hasn't worked. And they say, let's give them a chance. Let's see if being more conservative, we get the relief rolls cut down and the giveaway programs, see if it does any difference. It does make any difference. If it does, I think it's going to change our way of life. If we're not, I don't know.
Well, now, is there any answer to the power of the media?
I don't know. The power, I don't think you can muzzle them. I think they have a right to editorialize if they want to, but I don't know how we can offset it. The political parties, either one, with money maybe by buying ads, but an ad is not near as effective as somebody speaking right off the cuff as a news commentator who can slant the news the way he wants it to be slanted.
And reach so many people.
And reach so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't advocate going back, kicking everybody out of civil service.
No.
I don't advocate that at all. But I do say this, you go down to the post office, and I've seen it many times, people today under the protection of Secret Service, you see a clerk there, and you want to buy a stamp, and he looks up high, goes ahead with his work, and
mm-hmm.
you're busy. It just irritates me
mm-hmm.
to death.
Okay.
And if that was still in politics, I guarantee you that wouldn't happen.
Okay.
So that's the other end of politics. Mm-hmm. Yet, due to the fact that a man's a Democrat and I'm a Republican, I get in and I fire him, and he's been there for 20 years, that's not right
okay.
either.
So there are two sides.
There's two sides mm-hmm. to it.
What would you say to a young person? Would you encourage a young person to go into politics?
Absolutely. I think they do. They should. I have two sons. They're lawyers here in town, both of them. They're precinct committeemen. They've lived with it at home.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen me, I hope, by my life, my living, that I've been an inspiration to them to get into politics.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have bad government if we don't have good people in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you have bad government is because people don't care. The only way you have a daily machine in Chicago is out of fear. The people protect each other, and the good people don't want to vote, they stay home, and consequently
mm-hmm.
you get bad government. And the only way you're going to have it is to have good people. If it has to be necessary, they dirty their hands a little bit to get politics, you're going to have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way of educating the public to help the situation?
Well, I think really the last two elections, the younger people have shown an interest in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Vietnam War, they had a cause then, they thought. And they got in politics. I in the state politics. I remember when Mike Hallett ran against Governor Walker in the primary. The young people, I say I have the Milliken precinct.
Mm-hmm.
They voted French school, and it's the fraternities and the sororities.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kids came out and voted against Mike Hallett because they thought he was a machine politician.
Mm-hmm.
And Walker had no political affiliation. He was anti-Daley. And if you get them riled up, and they get interested in a few of them, stay in politics after that.
Mm-hmm. Are we ready to talk about the future?
All right. Decatur is swinging back a little. As I told you previously in the interview, that when I first got in politics, Macon County was a tremendous Republican county. The Depression, and after the Depression, it was Democratic.
As in the country is at large?
Yes. Well, not necessarily, yeah, with the country at large, but Decatur being the industrial city.
Right.
And in all industrial cities
mm-hmm.
are Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have become a very strong Democrat county with about 8,000 more registered Democrat
mm-hmm.
votes than there are Republican. But now, it is reverting back some. You see, they used to talk about the common man, the laboring man. There's not such a thing anymore. He's making $20,000 and $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
He's the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
It was some years ago that labor talked about the common man, and that the Democrat Party was for the common man. They sold that through the labor union organs, their literature and so forth. They'd sold that the Republican Party was a party of the rich, and the Democrat Party was the party of the common man. The common man today is the man who's the middle man and the middle class man. They don't want to be called a common man. There's not such a thing as a common man.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republican Party has gained. We're getting officers back in the courthouse that we haven't had for 12
mm-hmm.
or 14 years. And I feel that that Macon County, they're moving out of the inner city and moving out of the suburban area, out in the Hickory Point, out in Long Creek, down to Mount Zion, down to Blue Mound. And they move down to the country to become Republicans. And in the inner city, they're Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that the Republican Party has a future in Macon County. I feel that within 5 to 10 years, we'll be a toss-up county. about even, Democrat, Republican.
With all these people moving out, is that creating a problem for the, what they call the inner city?
No question about it. Doing the Decatur, what it's done to Chicago. Mm-hmm. The blacks are moving to the inner city, and the whites are moving out in the suburban areas. Same it is in Cook County, and the Decatur Township is losing population, and Blue Mountain Township, Longview Township, and Hickory Point Town, they're all they're all gaining population.
You don't see any immediate answer to the problem of the inner city?
Not really. I don't know what the problem is. I mean, I
don't
know
the problem.
I know it is, but I don't know the answer.
Well, we have a lot of advantages and problems in the future, it seems.
We certainly do have. Uh-huh. No question about it.
Moving away a little bit from politics, you know, there are a lot of people in this town who think you do nothing but politics, but you have a business.
I retired 10 years ago. I had this business for 40 years. As I told you, I've never owned a payroll in my life. And,
it's your own business, warehouse business?
Yes, and trucking. I had a trucking company. The every Republican governor has offered me a good job. The fact of the matter is, I got Percy in politics. I was his campaign manager when he ran for governor against Kerner. Probably his closest political friend in the state of Illinois. I was John Althoffer's campaign manager when he ran for governor in the primary against Governor Ogilvie. I'm now, just was announced this week, I'm downstate campaign manager for Ty Fainter, our attorney general. And I was state chairman of the Republican Party for 8 years. And so...
So it has certainly been a second business, if not a main business.
I have spent an awful lot of time. I don't bear regret any of it. I've met so many fine, high-class people. I introduced Eisenhower through Illinois on his train. I wouldn't take that experience for anything in the world. I was a close friend of Richard Nixon. I've been with him just one-on-one several times, one, two, or three, 4 hours at a time. Jerry Ford was a good friend of mine. I've had all those people in Decatur as speakers at one time or another.
So you've had a very exciting career.
Yes, I have.
And it doesn't seem as if it's finished. You're working at your business, and you certainly seem to be working in politics, too.
Well, I'm retired from my business. I really don't do anything in the business. It's been both satisfying both the business and been good to me, and the politics has, too. I've had a lot of heartbreaks, as anybody would have, a lot of disappointments, but I've had a lot of thrills, and I've been able to raise my family, and they've all turned out well. I had a wonderful wife, and she's a great gal. And, we'll be married 50 years next year.
Well, congratulations. Well, we certainly thank you for sharing your experiences with us.
Okay, happy
and
to
I
do it.
And I think it's shed a great deal of light on a certain aspect of life in Decatur.
Hope so.
And of course, that's what we're doing, is to try to review the story of Decatur.
I hope this is a little help.
It has been a great help. And thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
You have been listening to the reminiscences of Mr. H.G. Skinny Taylor. This is Betty Trunell for the Decatur Public Library.